Hebrews chapter 7, if you'll find your place there, continuing our study on the book of Hebrews and why you and I need enduring faith. This is a critical passage and section. We're getting to the main point in chapter 8, and so as we're turning there and making your way there, I just want to ask you a really quick question before we get started. Has anyone ever been on a cruise? Yeah? You have been on a cruise maybe to the Mediterranean or the Caribbean. I know some of y'all have been up to Alaska and seen the beautiful wilderness there. God's creation just testifies just how awesome of a God he is. And for all of us others who haven't had that privilege, we've just been on Lake Hickory, right? And cruised around there. Actually, I've never been on a cruise. I don't know if I can handle it, but I've seen the commercials. Have you seen all those commercials? There's so many commercials for cruises. It's really amazing. And every time that I see one of those commercials and I see all the people there, they're all so happy, aren't they? Everyone, everything is swell, lots of food and fun, tons of smiles, and the kids are having a blast. I think the parents are relaxing. Thousands of people enjoying that time on the water and the easy life. I mean, they can put a small city on some of these boats. Isn't it amazing just how they stack them in there? And then you see the portion of the video, the commercial, right, where the ship is deviated off course and the captain isn't alert, and they're coming close to an island, and they hit the seabed and slash open the hull and cause the ship to list and then begin to sink, right? No, we don't see that in the commercial. That would never happen, right? Oh, yeah. Back in 2012, it happened. 4,252 people on the Costa Concordia there off the island of Tuscany experienced precisely that. The captain wasn't alert, wasn't awake. And on their first leg of the cruise through the Mediterranean, they came too close to the seabed, and it slashed open the hull of the ship. And just a minor deviation off the charted course. That's all it took. Just a minor deviation, and there, shipwreck. That's what happened. While a majority of the passengers, of course, weren't injured, they were saved. Some did perish, and others lost their lives. And, of course, those on board needed something when that ship began to sink. You know what that was? The most important thing on a boat. And yet, I never see one of these in the commercial, right? A life vest, right? I never see. You need a reliable life vest if you're going to go on one of those cruises. I want to know where those things are. Why do they tell us where they are on the planes every time we get on one? And we never fly over the water, right? You ever ask yourself that question? It's really interesting, right? When I think of those commercials, you know, we never see anyone thinking that that's actually going to happen. And yet, if we're honest in life, right, that's the most essential thing you would need to know, its location, where it is in case you need it. But sometimes in life, things are just going as smooth as it is for that cruise ship in your life. I mean, you're smiling, there's tons of fun in the sun, and we're cruising throughout life without a problem, no fear on our charted course, and then one slight deviation, and what happens? Things start going down. What do you do? What do you do when that happens in your life? Do you have a life vest? Do you have a working life vest, a guaranteed life vest? Do you have someone that you can turn to in moments like that and cry out to? This is the whole point of the maturity that's needed in the believer's life that Paul is writing and trying to help us to realize. So many people have salvation. It's been obtained for them in Christ. But they don't realize, it's not just, yeah, I made a profession of faith 20 years ago. I don't know about you, but I needed him 20 minutes ago. I need him every hour of every day. And this is about our journey of faith. Remember, this is a book for those who are walking by faith. And the encouragement is that you walk by faith like all the other saints who walked before us. And when you read there in chapter 11, some of the things they experienced, it wasn't a cruise ship, right? They had to trust in the Lord. In fact, this congregation he's writing to, some of them were being persecuted for the faith, even for identifying those who were in prison for the faith, as we'll find over in Hebrews chapter 10. And he's writing to them and he's reminding them, listen, this is the main point. We've got to mature in our faith and understand this. We have one, a life vest, who's interceding for us, listen, all the time. This is the main argument. This is critical. This is shoe leather faith throughout the week. This is what sustains us so that we can sing that hymn that we just sang. I can face tomorrow. Why? Because he lives. I know I can face tomorrow because of who Christ is, what Christ has done and is doing right now. I need to listen carefully to the Word of God this morning to make certain my faith is resting solely, completely in Jesus Christ, because He alone is the one who ensures, listen, that if something happens to the ship, we're safe. And we reach the destination ultimately. You see, there's grace and there's mercy that Christ provides. This is what He has opened up for us. And we know that He's now interceding for us. See, we've been walking through understanding how He's a unique kind of priest. Right? When you go to worship, you bring your sacrifice, but you need someone to present it to God on your behalf, because you and I can't present it. And so there's one who stands there and would receive you into the tabernacle, would receive you into the temple. That Levitical priesthood, they were there. And though, listen, they weren't perfect. The sacrifice you brought or would have brought wasn't perfect either. We needed both a perfect sacrifice and a perfect priest. And this is the main point that He's establishing in this section of the letter. And because of what God has said in His word over in the Psalms, He said there's going to be a different kind of priesthood that would come. Not like Aaron and his sons, not like the Levitical priesthood, one that would replace them because they weren't perfect. And they couldn't make people perfect. All they were temporary coverings, providing temporary assurance until the one who fulfilled all that came. And His name is Jesus. And that's who we celebrate this morning. And see, I need to understand, why does Jesus give me a better hope as I draw near to God? Why does He give you a better hope to draw near to God this morning? Listen, not just once when you prayed a profession of faith and you said, Jesus, I'm a wretched sinner, save me from my sins. But every day when, you know what, we see and realize, man, I am still a wretched sinner. And I still need to be saved. And I need to realize that each and every day. You know, I've discovered this as I journey in my walk of faith. Hopefully you have as well. You know what? The closer I get to the light, the more imperfections I see. The more I realize how desperately I need Jesus and why I need to depend on Him and trust on Him. It's He who accomplished the salvation, and it's He who ensures the salvation for us. And I need to trust in Him and rest in Him each and every day. Preaching the gospel to myself and reminding myself, I'm not trusting in my ability, man, I'm resting in His. Who He is and what He's done. And praise God, He is our high priest at the right hand of the Father. This morning, I want you to stand. And for you and I to see Paul's argument and how he gives us some practical application today, here in this latter half of chapter 7 of Hebrews, verse 20. I'm going to read down through verse 28 if you'll follow along with me. This is the greatness of our high priest. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but He, Jesus, with an oath by Him, who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus became a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But He, because He continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for His own sins and then for the people's. For this He did once for all when He offered up Himself. For the law appoints as high priest men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the law, it appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Father, help us to celebrate today the one who intercedes for us at your right hand, our advocate Jesus. And Father, may it be today, if there's one before me, someone under the sound of my voice, watching online or listening on the radio, God, if there's one today who does not know Jesus in this way, the one who intercedes for them, the high priest who represents them before God, may they discover that they can come, anyone who can come, and they can be saved. And Lord Jesus, thank you again that you're always there making intercession. We need you. Help us to realize just how much we need you. And run to you, to your throne of grace, to find mercy and grace in our time of need. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. God is, when he established worship there in the Old Testament, over in the book of Exodus, in the book of Leviticus, when you understand all of God's commands and how sinful man could approach a holy God, God commanded several things to take place. He commanded with precision the house, the tabernacle of the Lord. It had to be built in a particular way. All the instruments he commanded, that whether it was the altar, the brazen altar, or whether it was the gold instruments, whether it was the lampstand, he commanded everything to be made in a specific way. And he also appointed a priesthood and commanded it would be Aaron and his sons that would serve as priests. He commanded that in Exodus chapter 28. But what the author is saying here, Paul is telling you and me, we have a superior high priest, not because God commanded it, because God made a promise. You know, you speak a command, you speak a word, thus it shall be. But here God made a promise and gave a promise by an oath and by his own witness. And that gives us the assurance today that the high priest we have is superior, because God has given us precious promises along with making Jesus the high priest to serve in this way. When the law was given there over in on Mount Sinai, you read there that, or we read last week and a couple weeks ago as well in chapter 6, the law cannot perfect anyone. The law cannot make anyone whole before God, because if you stumble in one point, you're guilty of the whole thing. But the point of the law was temporary. It was to show the need of someone to fulfill it and someone who could meet the requirements of God, because none of us would. And so Aaron and his sons, they were made priests by God's command. And so if you were a son of Aaron by birthright, God didn't have to make an oath to you. He never made an oath to Aaron and his sons. He just commanded, they're going to be my priests. They're going to be my representatives. And as long as you were a son of Aaron and didn't have a defect, you could serve as a priest. But here we find this passage in Psalms. We've already seen it several times in the book of Hebrews, where God hinted at something that would change in the priesthood. There would be a priest from another order, a priest who would serve forever, a priest according to the order of that mysterious man, Melchizedek. And the reason it's essential to understand that is because of the limitations of the Aaronic priesthood and of the Levitical priesthood, and the need for a priest who could represent, listen, you and I always. And so Jesus is the priest who was made by the oath of God. God spoke this over in Psalm 110. He spoke this verse. And there God spoke on earth to his son and said, you are today, I've sworn and I will not relent. In other words, this will never change. Jesus will always serve in this capacity. Praise God for that this morning. There's never going to be a change in his service in this way. There is a guarantee, a surety God has promised in a covenant that he has now made with us. Remember, we celebrate that every time we come to the Lord's table and we partake of the bread. It's a reminder of his sacrifice, but that cup is a reminder of the blood that he shed of a new covenant. God has made us his covenant people. God has promised things to us. And one of the sweetest promises we have is that we have one at the right hand of the Father who's always there interceding for us. I don't know about you, but I realize I need that each and every day. Praise God, he keeps his word. Praise God, he's made those promises. Jesus is the guarantee of that covenant, and he is the guarantee because God has made an oath to him that he would serve in this way. It's unchanging, unalterable, unconditional. Everything that God has promised is going to be yea and amen in Christ. And yet what Aaron and his sons did not have this oath from God. It was merely a command. They would serve him and the people in this way, as man tried to approach God. But our high priest, praise God, he's been confirmed by the Father. He is unique. He is a royal priest. He is a timeless priest. Why will he always serve in this way? Well, you see, it's because he makes eternal intercession for us. And there's an assurance of that, that Paul highlights for us there in verses 23 and following. There were many priests. You go and look in the Old Testament, what happened? Aaron and his sons would serve, and as they would serve, they lived so many years, and then what happened? They died. There were many priests that served in this way, and they were prevented by death from continuing. It's kind of like you stop and think about how many pastors churches have, particularly Baptist churches, right? Just when you get used to one, the average tenure of a Baptist pastor is about 3 to 4 years. What, they up, jump, and move, right? Go somewhere else. It'd be the same way with the priest. You'd go and there's a high priest or there's a priest and you'd see their face. And just when you get used to him, perhaps he goes off the scene because he dies. And here's another one serving in his capacity. None of them had a permanence to their work of intercession. None of them were going to be there year after year after year. And so there was an endless number of priests who serve in this way. None of them had a permanent service. But Jesus, his intercession is eternal. Why? Because you see, he died and rose again, and that resurrection is the assurance for us that unlike all the other priests, he's never going to die. He is always, or as we'll see in Hebrews chapter 13, he's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's going to be there at the right hand of the Father as our righteous advocate. Praise God this morning. That's the assurance of 1 John that we have one who's right there at the right hand that at any moment you and I can go to. Aren't you grateful for that today? You don't have to wait to come on church on Sunday and go to the pastor or go to someone and say, I need to talk. I need intercession with the Father. Praise God. As you and I navigate life, I need this for enduring faith because, you know, the problems don't just happen on Sunday. They happen throughout the week. I don't just stumble and fall short on Sunday. I stumble and fall short throughout the week. And in those moments, listen, I can run right to Jesus, and you and I should run right to Jesus and call on him. And praise God, he's available. Praise God, we don't have to make an appointment. Praise God, he's always there, available to any and all who will call on him. And the resurrection is what gives us the assurance. Now listen, he'll never be replaced. He's always going to be right there at the right hand of the Father. Now what's amazing is this verse that follows when it says that he has an unchangeable priesthood. Not like them that rose and they lived and they served, but by death they couldn't continue forever. No, Jesus will, because he has an unchangeable priesthood. The resurrection assures us of that. And here's the reason why I should come. I love verse 25. If you want to note this, I've underlined almost this whole verse and circled several things in it. Notice what it says and why there's assurance and encouragement for you and I as we walk by faith. Because he has an unchangeable priesthood, no one's going to replace him. He's always going to be there for you and I to call on. Watch this. Therefore, he is also able to save. Listen, our God's arm is not so short that he cannot save. That's what Isaiah told us. God can reach down, whatever situation you and I might find ourselves in, whether it's our own making or someone else's. Praise God this morning. There's a God who can just reach down and save. Snatch us away. Listen, you're in danger. That's the picture. You are in a very difficult spot. And in that moment, God is able to just swoop down his arm and save you and snatch you. I mean, he snatched us up out of the miry clay. Praise the Lord, right? He set our feet on solid rock. Praise God for redemption this morning. But listen, if you've walked long enough by faith, there's been times we stumble and fall short of the glory of God. I've done this week. So have you. In those moments, praise God, there's one who is able to save to the uttermost. What that means, listen, that's not the guttermost, okay? That doesn't mean the most wretched of us. That'd be me, all right? He can do that. The uttermost means, listen, he can save completely. That's why over in like Philippians, it'll say that he who began the good work in you is faithful to do what? Complete it. Listen, that good work of redemption that was started when you and I bent our knee and cried out, God, have mercy on me. I'm a wretched sinner. Save me. I can't save myself. I see Jesus who died on that cross, and I want to put my faith in that sacrifice that he offered, and I want to trust him and ask him to be my Savior and my Lord. I surrender and yield to him. The moment we did that, God has saved us. Jesus saves us from the penalty of sin. We are placed in him. Praise God for that today. And his Spirit comes and dwells within us to help us in the battle of faith. Listen, so we have power over sin. We don't have to be chained to our sins any longer. And one day, praise God, he's going to save us from the presence of sin. It's called heaven. Looking forward to going there. Amen. The journey of faith, though, let's be honest. The chains of sin, sometimes we forget that they've been loosed. We do. And we don't realize it. And we live, listen, when we've been set free, but we're still living like we're in bondage. And sometimes we even carry around junk with us, the guilt, and we harbor resentment and bitterness, and we're not free as God made us free in Christ. But He is able to save us to the uttermost, to complete the good work. That's why I need to run to Him and rest in Him and call on Him and say, Lord, You are able. I'm not. Praise God, He is. Praise God, I have that assurance today. He is able to save to the uttermost. Who? Those who come to God through Him. In other words, listen, the only reason today you may be, listen, you know, in your journey of faith, it may be stagnant right now. The only reason for you and I, listen, that we're not maturing and going forward, it's not because God hasn't done everything necessary. He has. Christ has done everything necessary for us to come to Him. Christ has done everything necessary for us to be made right with the Father. The only reason sometimes that we're not radically changed and we're not experiencing the fullness is because of our unwillingness to come to Him. And yet we've already learned over earlier in chapter 4, Christ has given us now access to a throne of grace so we can come boldly into His presence to find mercy and grace in our time of need. What's mercy? Well, that's not getting what I deserve. Anybody there? Oh man, I don't want what I deserve. I can come boldly to that throne of grace in brokenness and humility. Jesus, I need You. I still need You. I'll always need You. And praise God, He's always there, interceding eternally on our behalf. Aaron and his sons, they could never meet all the needs of the people. I mean, they could never meet all the needs at all the time. Throughout all of time, only Jesus is the one who's able to do that this morning. That's encouraging because, you know, I can tell my sons, I can even tell my grandchildren. I've got one of them now. I can tell them that there's still one who's there at the right hand of the Father that can intercede for them, that can save them. He's able to do this because He always lives. I circled that. He always lives to make intercession for them. You know, listen, beloved, we're supposed to walk in the light as He's in the light. We can have fellowship with Him and fellowship with the Father, fellowship with one another. Now, if we lie to ourselves and don't walk in the light but walk in the darkness, we're not availing ourselves of what Christ has come to do. There's no reason to live our lives that way. We should be leaving those burdens and casting those things over. Or as it would say over in Hebrews chapter 12, that when we run this race of faith, we fix our eyes on Jesus and we stop those chains that usually trip us up. Cast them aside. Don't let them encumber you anymore. Run this race of faith. None of us should be looking down. I just can't do it, preacher. I can't do it. Yes, you can in Christ. And Spirit in you, His Word guiding us in the truth. We have to trust in Him, depend on Him, cry out to Him. Do you find yourself doing that throughout the week? This is how mature we are in our faith to realize the moment that happens, run straight to Jesus. Run to Him. Run swiftly to Him. Call on His name. He's always there. It's a healthy thing sometimes just to open up the closet and go in there and say, Jesus, I need You. I don't care if the dogs are barking outside and maybe the kids are barking at you too. Listen, go in the closet and call on Jesus. You need Him. Don't think you can run this race of faith without Him. You and I need Him. Look at the trials that the people of faith went through over in chapter 11, how they suffered and endured, and they walked worthy of the King as they were here on this earth. We're going to learn about several of them as we go through our study of Hebrews. And we're supposed to walk by faith just like them, depending on our high priest. He makes eternal intercession for us. Now, why is He able to do that? Because of His superior character. Not like all the other priests, Aaron and his sons, Jesus is a high priest far better than all of them. Why? Look at this in verse 26. For such a high priest was fitting for us. Now, what about him? Who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. All of these attributes that are listed here reveal the superiority of His character. He is perfect and conducts Himself in a way that is perfect, unlike all the other high priests. You know, it's fascinating, as it says here, that He who serves in this way, He is holy. In other words, He is set apart unto God to serve Him. There is a personal purity that Jesus possesses. The Levitical priests didn't have that. They tried to walk close. They tried to walk clean. Not all of them. Eli and his sons failed in many ways. But he was innocent, harmless. No evil in him, not practicing evil. You read about Eli and his boys there over in 1 Samuel. And what you discover is they were wicked. They were fleecing the sheep. They weren't serving the Lord the way they ought to as the priesthood. Not Jesus. No. He is holy. He is harmless or innocent is what the Greek would suggest to us. He's undefiled. He never, ever was defiled in his service and in his ministry. That was essential. If you were going to serve in the priesthood, you had to maintain this purity, this cleanliness, and not be defiled by touching dead things. You can remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? As he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, there came one down, one who was serving a priest. And what did he do? He walked on the other side. He didn't want to defile himself. The sad thing is, he wasn't going up to serve the Lord. He was coming down from serving the Lord. And even if he had been defiled, it had only been for 7 days. And then he could have gone back and served the Lord. But he wouldn't help. Jesus isn't like that. Jesus is separate from the sinners. You know, the priests, when they offer up their sacrifice for the sinners, if you brought a sacrifice to worship God, before he could offer your sacrifice early that morning, he had to offer sacrifice for himself. He's just like those he represents. But Jesus, he's separate from sinners in this way. He is not like you and me. Praise God, he's without sin. That's why he can represent us. And now he's raised up. He's exalted there in the heavens. He's raised up higher than the heavens. He doesn't serve down here in the tabernacle. He doesn't serve down here in the temple. He serves up there at the right hand of the Father, which those things were just a copy of what's there, whatever God showed Moses. He serves there interceding for you and for me. All the other priests, listen, they all had some shortcoming in some way, but not Jesus. You know, it's a true thing. You know, no priest and no pastor, by the way, is ever perfect. Can I just confess to you? I'm not perfect. I got a whole tribe over here. You can ask him. Amen. Pastor Scott, I love him. He's 20 plus years of ministry. He's not perfect either. Dr. Cook, 50 plus years of ministry. There's not a preacher you've ever met that's ever perfect. There's not a priest you're ever going to meet. Anyone who intercedes here on earth, there's only one. Amen. It's Jesus. And he forever makes intercession for you and me. So this is the question. Am I availing myself of the advocate who sits there at the right hand of the Father, the one who's interceding for you and for me? I need to call on him daily, not just on Sunday for an hour. You see, this is what's sad. So many people have come to Jesus to obtain salvation, right? Save me. I'm a wretched sinner. Save me. But they don't realize I need Jesus throughout the week and throughout my life to maintain that salvation. I can't do it all. I depend on him. You depend on him. He who began the good work is faithful to complete it. If you and I think we can do it, that means we're doing our works and adding to what Christ has done. And Paul said in Galatians, then Christ died in vain. It's Christ alone that we rest in. It's Christ alone that we trust in. I look to him and put my faith in him. And praise God, listen, I need him and he's there every single hour. Your faith, my faith, should demonstrate that throughout the week as we mature in the faith and as he perfects us. And this is the other thing I need to realize. You know, we're cruising through life, right? Sunshine and smiles. It's all going great. And then something happens. Shipwreck. Where do you turn? Where is it in that moment that you turn to? Who do you turn to? Who do you rest in? Who do you cry out for? Because we ought to run immediately to Jesus. He's right there interceding for us. I need that. You need that. You say, well, I'm not going through a trial. Well, get ready. None of us is guaranteed that it isn't going to happen. And I need to know this assurance because, see, when I read that hall of faith over there in chapter 11 and what they endured in their journey of faith and how they remained faithful, I need to realize that I need to grow in my dependence in Christ. I need to increase that each and every day, looking to him, resting in him, calling on him, trusting in him, praying to him. Listen, that doesn't save me. It's because I'm saved. I realize just how desperately I need Jesus. I don't need to carry this guilt and garbage, man. That's why we have a time at the end of the service where you can just come and just lay it on the altar and say, I'm done carrying this. Jesus, you loose these chains. Just take them. I don't want to be encumbered by them anymore. calling on him, depending on him. Listen, realizing that Jesus intercedes as this high priest, making certain our salvation because he saves us to the uttermost. Praise God this morning. Listen, I don't have to wonder whether I'm going to make it if I'm trusting in Jesus, if I'm resting in his intercession, if I'm trusting that he came to save sinners such as I. Save me from my sins. And save me not only from the penalty of my sins, but from the power of my sins each and every day. Don't you want a priest like that interceding for you? Job did. Oh, that I had one that went between. Amen. That I had one who touched God on that side and touched me here on that side. Oh, that I had one. I hope you found him. He's here today. He's reaching, extending his hand to you and me that we would trust in him, that we would call on him. And he's not just here right now reaching towards us. He's reaching towards us every day. You have life while you have life and breath. But it's your responsibility. It only happens, we only experience that redemption to those who come to God through him. There's no other way. He is the way. There's no other way that you're going to experience this unless you come to Jesus. In fact, it's not Jesus plus me. No, it's Jesus alone this morning. And you have to call on him. That's why he offered the perfect sacrifice. And he alone is the perfect priest who ministers before the Father for you and for me. And I pray you know that this morning. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads for just a moment as we just have an opportunity to make some decisions or perhaps call on the Lord this morning and say, Jesus, I need you. If there's a burden in your heart this morning and you realize, you know what, there's something that's undone. I've got something that I need to be delivered from, and I've been looking everywhere but to Jesus this morning. I want to call on him. That I invite you right now, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, just being honest with the Lord this morning, asking God to search our hearts. We might be able to, you know, put on the smiles and the veneer and make it look good to the world around us. But down in the hole, there's something that's corrupt and it needs to be dealt with this morning. And I want to invite you to come to a merciful high priest who understands. See, he put this flesh on. He walked among us. He knows what it's like to walk in the flesh. He never sinned like you and I did, but he paid the penalty for our sins that you and I have done so that we could be set free from them. And this morning, there's no garbage that you have to carry on, no guilt you have to carry around. You can be free today if you'll but surrender and yield to him and call on him. And I invite you to do that right now. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're not going to stand, we're not going to sing, but you can slip up and slip out and come right here and grab the hand of myself or Pastor Scott or a deacon and say, I need to talk to you today about Jesus. I need to know how I can be free and walk with him as my Savior and my Lord. Maybe you already know that truth. You've obtained salvation, but you know what? You're not trusting in Jesus to complete it. And you know what? You're wrestling and you're restless because you're not resting in him and trusting in him. So maybe you just need to come on the altar and say, God, I need you every day. Forgive me for not thinking so. And this chain that's tripping me up, this sin that's tripping me up that you set me free from, God, I just want to be unencumbered today. I don't want to carry it with me away from the sanctuary. I don't want to carry it away. I want to be free from it. Will you give it to Jesus today and be free?